When I want to learn what's new in the world of iPods, there's only one source I trust. The Coldcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifin Elijah, and joining me today, it's always a treat when he's with us, and honestly, it's been way too long since I've heard his sensual vocals. Buster Kine is here. What's going on, Buster?
Not much.
Also joining us, he used to be a cult cast comrade, a brother, but then in an ultimate act of betrayal, he left for Tech Insider, and now he has a bunch of snooty friends. He lives in New York City. He's back with us as well. Alex E. Heath is here.
Oh!
You know I love you, Alex.
Yeah, sure you do.
But I also hate you.
Well, you know, you couldn't tell by how often you all talk about me still. I think it's every episode.
We haven't even taken you out of the Cultcast logo. I hope you
know.
Mind.
Oh, I know. Really, the only reason I still listen to the show is to hear when you guys mention me.
Which, you're right, is fairly often.
Yeah. It's always like, I wonder what Alex would think of that. I'm like, WWAD, you know, it's like... What would Alex do?
I have a bracelet that I made myself that I wear that says WAD.
I'm glad that even in my absence, my spirit really lives on in the show.
It does. And, you know, you should think about maybe quitting that ridiculous job that you have and coming back.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Let us know. You can move to someplace cool, not New York City, which is totally lame. You can move someplace cool like Mesa, Arizona, Bothell, Washington.
I would actually take Mesa over the weather we've been having.
Yeah, it's been pretty gnarly over there in NYC.
The blizzard's going to hit this weekend.
Oh, blizzard.
Nick Jonas.
Damn.
The Nick Jonas blizzard.
That actually sounds like something I would enjoy, just being surrounded.
It's literally just dozens of Nick Jonas's falling from the sky.
That's like the stuff that I dream about at night.
Yeah.
And also, we should at least mention, you got married recently. You finally became a man.
Congrats, man.
It's been a good year so far.
Good year for Alex E. Heath.
Jeez.
Yeah, I got married and spent a week in Cancun during CES, which really couldn't
have been timed better. You actually did go to Cancun?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, I thought that was a joke.
No.
Cool, man.
That's not a joke, yeah.
Did you wear one of those super slim, like, European bathing suits that, like, go halfway up your butt?
Do you
even
need
that?
Do you even need that? I mean, it was a nude beach, but I still wanted to wear it, so.
I bet it was, like, smallest beach bulge there was, though.
I don't know. Most people there were over 60.
Oh, yeah?
So.
Yeah, it's Cancun, not exactly a mecca for the youth.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. Great. You got married. When did you actually get married?
January 2nd.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like such a big jerk.
You are a jerk, but
it's fine. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
See, if you were still on the show, we would have mentioned it. You probably would have been showered with gifts from our amazing audience.
Mm-hmm. Well, instead, if anybody wants to send gifts, Alex E. Heath on Twitter, slide into my DMs.
But people can't DM you unless you're following them.
No, I have.
You got that open?
I accept all DMs. I'm inclusive.
Oh, you accept them from anyone?
Damn. Anyone. Even you.
Really? Because mine keep getting returned.
Oh, okay. Well,
every time I try to send one, I get an error from Twitter. It says you can't do that. Oh, my gosh. So much good Apple news to talk about this week. We are going to be covering the new GarageBand update for iOS, which is cool. The new Music Memos app, which my musician cousin immediately iMessaged me about and was super excited about. And if you stay around till the end, we're going to be doing an all-new Cultcast Q&A. We took your questions on Twitter. We'll be answering those. Oh, and Alex is going to be telling us what it's like to die on a hoverboard. Right, Alex?
Yeah. And then come back to life.
One of those?
Did you get caught and then
resurrected? It's an amazing story Alex is going to share with us.
Yeah.
Before we dive into all that stuff, though, let me go ahead and give a shout out to our sponsors who make this high quality production possible. First off, I want to say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace, do you need a website? Well, you can build a beautiful, responsive website quickly at squarespace.com. Get started for free. All they need is your email address. And enter code CULTCAST at checkout to get 10% off any order. Squarespace.com. Also want to thank FreshBooks for supporting this episode. FreshBooks is the easy-to-use invoicing software that helps you stay on top of all the admin stuff that you can't stand doing. Are you a photographer, a videographer, a coder, a designer, a man who sells his body on the streets in the city of New York, Alex? This is the best way that I know of to get paid. You can invoice your clients, Alex, very quickly. And you can accept payments digitally, credit cards. You can take PayPal. And it's going to make you look professional to all your clients, Alex, because when you send them a FreshBooks invoice for your services, they're going to be like, whoa, look at this. This guy has his invoice totally branded. And you're going to look like a super pro because you're going to email it to them instead of mailing them an invoice. And it's going to make you look like the high-tech guru that you are. Isn't that okay, what you want?
Yeah, sounds
for
good.
For your business? Okay. I thought maybe we lost you there, Alex.
No,
still there.
I was thinking about it very deeply.
I use FreshBooks. I pay for it every month. Alex, do you still use FreshBooks? Do you have need to use FreshBooks still?
No, I don't.
But
I mean,
you used
I just
to.
People literally just send me money without just, me asking.
Alex is a cash business.
Yeah, it shows up and I'm like, I don't have anywhere to put this.
He just takes it off
send
the bedside
away.
Table as he leaves.
Yeah.
And Buster uses FreshBooks. Leander uses FreshBooks. And let me give a recommendation. If you decide to give FreshBooks a try, they have a 30-day free trial at freshbooks.com/cultcast. Definitely recommend the trial. Download the iOS app. Their iOS app really is phenomenal. You could run your entire business right from your iPhone. And not only can you bill for your time, create invoices, send invoices, you know, manage your invoices, you can manage your expenses. You can also take pictures of receipts and things that you pay for and then assign those directly to your clients so that next time you bill them, they have to pay you back for those things. Just a really great service. FreshBooks.com/cultcast if you want to give it a shot. And please enter FreshBooks in the How Did You Hear About Us section. All right, where should we start here?
I'll tell you what is exciting.
What's that?
iOS 9.3 beta.
We talked about that last week.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I missed that.
Did you want to mention anything about it? Maybe
the night mode's really cool. I use it now.
You have been using it?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's great.
Good. I'm actually glad you brought this up. So why don't you explain what night shift is for those that don't know?
Well, when you work the night shift, Irfan.
When you work the night shift like Alex does.
You see things in a different light.
That you do.
Yes,
sure,
it makes your screen like kind of sepia. If people have used the Mac utility Flux, it's very similar. Mm-hmm. And it's better on your eyes. Blue light from your screen is scientifically proven to cause health problems and all that jazz. So,
okay, let me ask you this though, Alex. So have you actually used this reading at night?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and, yeah, just looking at my phone in general, yeah.
But I read a lot in bed and I noticed that the blue light from my iPad definitely wakes me up. Have
it's
you
not
tried?
Even that it wakes you up. I challenge you to try it and then turn it off and feel the headache rush to your head because it really does put so much more of a strain on your eyes. Like if I have, so for instance, it's dark out. I have Flux on my Mac right now. I'm looking at the screen. If I turn it off, I'm going to get an instant headache from the blue light. Mm. It really is just such a harsh difference. It's so much easier on your eyes. So,
see, I have like superhuman eyesight in eyeballs though.
But you,
my eyes are,
you
my
don't
eyes
want to
are,
ruin them, man. You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
you
don't, so I'm not so much worried about that. Or... But, I mean, have you noticed that the sepia-toned light keeps you awake or doesn't keep you awake,
no,
whereas
the
blue
whole,
light
the
did?
Whole, the awake thing has never really bothered me. It's honestly just like strain. It's just like relieved strain. My eyes don't feel like they're straining as much or squinting.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have like a dull headache like you kind of sometimes forget that you get looking at your screen at night. If you're not using Flux on your Mac, you absolutely should be.
Is it free? Or how much
does
it cost?
Yeah, it's free, yeah.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, and they tried to do an iOS app, and then Apple killed it 2 weeks before iOS 9.3 came out.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, no, this is a terrible idea. Wait a second. But yeah, it's great on the iPhone and iPad, obviously, for reading. So when that comes out, which I assume will be, I mean, usually they time a 9.3 release around like March with an event. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I would assume it will be with some maybe new iPad hardware in March or something.
Oh,
yeah, I would love to see a new iPad. Mine's getting really lurchy.
You got an iPad Air?
Yeah, my iPad Air 2. I just feel like it's
mine's
getting
great.
Slower and slower.
Really? Mine's doing great.
Maybe I need to wipe mine and reinstall the operating system. Yeah, it's just like whenever you scroll and stuff, you know how it just like runs buttery smooth when you first get it. Now it's just like...
I haven't had that issue.
Hate that. Before we talk about the other new apps that we have here, the Music Memos app and GarageBand, I want to talk about your story that you wrote for Tech Insider, Alex.
Because by the time this podcast comes out, there will also be a video.
You got video?
Yeah, I'm shooting it tomorrow. So the day it'll be up by the time this podcast comes out. Instructional video. Basically, I become a hoverboard master.
How to ride a hoverboard.
I feel pressure. Like I feel a societal pressure to share my wisdom.
Yeah, you are very wise in the ways of hoverboards.
So
yeah.
have you crashed at all on your hoverboard?
Okay, hold on. Let's preface this conversation with Alex rode around on a hoverboard for a week straight.
In my office.
In his office. And if you don't know what a hoverboard is, it's like one of those little Segway scooters that you see everyone riding around on now.
The Swagway.
The Swagway. Best name.
The name is the Swagatron.
The Swagatronic 2000. I almost bought one actually over Christmas break because they were dipping into like the high like 100s. Like you get one for like 185.
Yeah,
it's but probably then because I started seeing the battery stories and stuff and people breaking it's
probably,
their arms.
Well, that's probably because the U.S. Safety Commission just issued a do not buy warning and mandated that retailers issue refunds. So
you're kidding? So they have to take them back if you
buy
one?
They don't have to, but they're so Amazon just started doing full refunds for any hoverboard that you buy on Amazon, which the Swagway, you can get it on Amazon.
The Swagway. I'm sorry. The Swagway. That is one of the best product names.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great product. Way. It's a great name.
So teach us, Alex. I mean, are these going to become the next hot thing? They kind of started blowing up, and now it seems like they're kind of getting squashed. What's going on with them?
No, they were a hot holiday gift. I mean, we saw photos of teens riding them around in suburbs on the streets, like little herds of hoverboarders. And then there was the infamous priest in South America who was removed from the church for hoverboarding during mass.
Yeah, that was great.
Why would you hate on someone that much? It's like dude, get rid of your hoverboard. You don't like suspend the guy.
That got international news attention. It was really weird. So that was interesting. But I just think they're reaching a critical moment in mainstream culture.
They're like rollerblades of
except so the much future. More fun.
Rollerblades of the future. I like that's a. That's a good description.
I'll say this to hoverboard haters. You have to try one because they're so fun. Like you're just gliding around and you just feel like you're floating.
How long did it take you to get used to them? Because I've seen a lot of videos of people practically breaking their necks when they first get on them. How many minutes did it take you before you were...
I would say by the end of the first day, I felt 90% comfortable.
An entire day?
It took me maybe an hour to feel comfortable enough to do sharp turns, go backwards, all that.
Dang. Did you get to ride it out on the street at all? I know it's illegal there.
It's illegal in New York City, yeah.
So only around the office. How fast do you get going?
It can go up to they say on the packaging that it goes up to 10 miles an hour. It actually goes faster. It just beeps at you really loudly.
That's really fast.
Yeah, and I did get it to where it was beeping in the office, so I was going over 10 miles an hour in the office.
Nice.
But
do people just hate you as you pass
by? Yes, everyone hates me. I get really weird looks. I mean, I still ride it around sometimes to go get water, get a snack, and I just get really strange looks. Even today, people have kind of just realized that I'm the hoverboard guy, and they just kind of look at me and give me like a shake of the head and just like a sad look, like, oh, you again.
Look how cool that guy is. I'll never be that cool.
If packages come, like the ops team will be like, oh, yeah, that's for the hoverboard guy. Like, that's my name now.
They're going to start calling you hover guy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though. Fine. So, I mean, I'm sure you can like right up to the urinal and use that, no problem. But have you had to, or can you, when you're going into like the actual John, like just go full speed and then whip around, as I've seen some people do, and then drop the pants right onto the crown?
I haven't had the guts to do that yet.
Man, I thought you were the hoverboard king.
I mean, I am, but...
But you're nowhere close if you can't do
that. The bathroom is the sacred place that I have not
You haven't taken
the hoverboard in yet.
I haven't breached that barrier yet.
I was really hardcore about it. That week that I was doing it for a week, I mean, I would not take the stairs. I would take the elevator, even if it was one floor up. I would not get off it. And it was really fun. I mean, honestly, I still like riding it around. It's just a fun toy.
So now is it like the office hoverboard? Does everyone get to ride it now?
Yeah, I have been giving a lot of demos. A lot of people have been wanting to use it. It's got a very, like, people see it and they're like, oh my gosh, I want to try that. And then they freak out and fall and don't want to do it again. But I was a natural at it, but I think if you have experience like rollerblading, skateboarding, those kind of things, skiing, you're going to pick it up a lot easier than someone else who maybe doesn't have great hand-eye coordination or balance. Because it really is about your balance. I think the main problem that people have is they try to wobble too much with their hips. They try to, they think that it's like they need to lean with their hips like really dramatically. And it's so sensitive. I mean, it's like the smallest amount of foot pressure will completely move you another direction. So it really is just about like trusting your balance and just like leaning into it. And you really stay stationary. It doesn't even look like you're leaning because it's all just in your calves and your feet.
Is there like an attire, like an appropriate attire you're supposed to wear? Like, do you have to be wearing spandex? And
I've just been wearing normal attire. I mean, you can wear whatever you want. I realized one day that I had a hole in the back of my jeans near the buttocks area, and I didn't realize it. And I was obviously elevated about a foot off the ground, and I'm already
so your butt's in everyone's face.
Yeah, I'm already a pretty tall guy, so that means that I was really tall, like over 7 feet. And I was leaning down to like get a package or something, and a guy behind me was like, "Hey, man, you know, like, I can see your underwear, right?"
Oh my! Did you hear that from
anyone?
Luckily,
I was wearing underwear that day. So
yeah, because you don't normally.
No, yeah,
yeah. It's always, gosh, yeah. You lucked out that day. Yeah. So if you want to get yourself a hoverboard, aren't they like super expensive everywhere? Except like if you order them from China, you can get them for like a couple $100.
Yeah, I mean, you can get an exploding Chinese one for $200.
Dude, they don't all explode.
Well, Casey Neistat made a video about this, I don't know, right before the holidays, and he said they all come from pretty much the same factory in China, so there's really not much difference between them all.
The parts can still be, like, Swagway claims that its batteries are, like, FCC certified, like, European Commission certified. They're, like, very strict standards. They're not, like, some Chinese, you know, just, like, random brand. Mm-hmm. So you really just have to pay attention to the brand, make sure it's like a established, like the homepage looks legit, like doesn't look like some knockoff. So
I don't know. I mean, because the ones on Amazon are like $500. The ones I saw on Alibaba were like $250.
They're the exact same thing. The Alibaba one.
They're all exactly the same.
Is no better than the other ones. I promise.
And dude, the crazy part has some sick lights, man. And the new one has.
They all have lights.
The new one has a built-in Bluetooth speaker. You can jam.
The one I was looking at from Alibaba had a built-in Bluetooth speaker. They all come from the same factory,
okay,
dude.
Okay, well, I just know Swagway for the new Swagatron. They did a flame retardant plastic.
Yeah.
To ease any doubts. So, like, if it does explode,
plastic,
the flames aren't going to engulf your feet. But if you do want to be scared, just like YouTube hoverboard explosion, and there's going to be hundreds of videos of.
Do they actually explode? Or do they? Do they just catch fire?
They randomly combust. It's because of the batteries. The batteries are these really high powered lithium ion batteries that are really. There's no certification process for them yet. They're not designed to be concealed in such a and have so much pressure. I mean, you've got a human body like applying pressure down on it.
Yeah.
So you've got all those factors, and they can just explode. So that's why airlines have banned them, colleges have banned them, New York City has banned them.
The U.S.
government is trying to ban them. But you know what? I think the hoverboarders are going to band together and overcome this.
I'm seeing them everywhere now. At the university near my house, I see
people
riding around
in Seattle.
On
I bet you
it's
see
crazy.
Seattle hipsters like just rolling around on their hoverboards.
I see them everywhere with their like Hitler mustaches and their super hipster outfits.
I applaud them. You know, I think they're moving society forward.
Definitely. They're making the world a better place.
The day you realize you could walk somewhere or you could hover and you choose to hover is the day you've progressed as a human being.
Definitely more elevated than the rest of us. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anything else to mention about hoverboards before we move on, Alex?
Just try one. That's all.
Try one.
Just make sure you're wearing a helmet, full padding,
and
flame retardant gear,
and flame retardant clothing.
So the U.S. government recommends that you have a fire extinguisher with you at all times, and that's a real thing that was really published today.
Well, all you need to do is just strap one to your leg, and I mean, it's like perfect. There you go. It's right around with that.
That's true.
You'll be prepared for anything. Of course, if it explodes and it blows your leg off, you won't have the extinguisher there to leg out.
You could put it out before it goes farther up your leg.
Okay, let's talk about some apps. Let's talk about the GarageBand app for
apps are my forte.
iOS. I know you love apps. This is why I wanted to bring this up. So, have either of you had a chance to play around with the GarageBand update, the iOS update?
No, but I watched T-Pain do it on The Verge.
T-Pain has. Yeah.
Dude, that video was T-painful.
What?
That was one of the most boring videos I've ever seen in my life.
How weird was it? This is going to be awesome. If I was in the same room with T-Pain, I don't care if it was for an app or what. I mean,
they just sent the wrong party into that video.
Yeah.
You know,
that would have been.
Micah Singleton was the man to send there.
Oh, that Micah would have killed it. Yeah.
It's a tough video to make because, I mean, the app had literally just come out.
Well,
and now you're trying to do a video with T-Pain on like the features and stuff.
But T-Pain was on the press release. That's why it was like so funny because, T-Pain.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was the weirdest Apple moment ever. T-Pain and was it Ryan Adams or Brian Adams? I can't remember.
Ryan Adams.
That one was on there too, like talking about how awesome the new GarageBand is.
Well, I got to say, so I did use it, and it is pretty cool.
It looks super cool.
Literally create a song in I would say a minute. You can create like a full on like electronic sounding,
using
like dead-mouse sounding song
with the music memos or the GarageBand.
With GarageBand,
okay.
So basically, it has a new layout, and it's a very visual style layout where there's like a grid, and there's all these different like sound effects that you can just touch, and it activates those. Different sound effects, and you can add drums and bass and all this cool like electronic type music, and it will loop everything over and over again, and then you can mess with a ton of stuff. So you can mess with how the piano sounds, how the beats are, how the bass sounds. So even though it's really simplistic in its UI and its design, it seems pretty deep in the kind of things that you could do. So you could just do a basic song and have a full-on song within a minute or two, or you can really dig in and change the pitch and intonation of everything and create something super custom. And I had a lot of fun with it. And these kinds of things are normally kind of too complicated to be able to do quickly and to have fun doing. But within 30 minutes... had gone by super quick because I was just checking it out so we could talk about it today. And I wasted like 45 minutes just playing around with it. So if you have a iOS device that's fairly recent, do you guys know how recent your iOS device has to be to get GarageBand for free? I think it's like iPhone 6 onwards, isn't it?
It might be earlier than that.
It might be earlier.
I think it's the 6.
In any case, most people, I would guess, listening to this show have a newer iPhone, and you get GarageBand for free. If you do. So you should definitely check out GarageBand and play around with it. And then also we got a new Memos app. And I'm assuming you guys didn't play around with this either, huh?
Nah.
You didn't break out the old acoustic guitar, Alex, and sing something to your wife?
No.
You didn't want to like write a song for her just on the spot and record it and give it to her for Valentine's Day?
I'm not musical, man.
Wives love that kind of stuff.
I'd rather just make a loop like T-Pain did.
is your wife like EDM music?
Yeah, or just like, you know, R&B, you know, just have like a loop and do some Fetty Wap over it or something.
Yeah, Fetty Wap. He's my favorite artist right now.
He's really good.
Is he? I've never actually heard anything by him. I'll take your word for it. So the Music Memos app, very basic in its design. In fact, it looks a lot like the note-taking app that you might use on your iPhone currently, you know, just to like record voice memos. But my cousin started texting me about this thing yesterday, and my cousin's pretty tied into the music scene. He's been a musician for a long time. My cousin was texting me, and he was super excited about this app. And if you're a musician, I think that you're really going to find this to be a valuable tool. I was playing around with it yesterday. You basically just hit a record button on the app. The interface is extremely simple. It doesn't really do a ton of stuff, but it allows you to quickly record a guitar solo, something on acoustic guitar, maybe something on your piano, and then save it. And the cool part is once you've saved it, it will actually show you the audio file, like WAV file, and it will show you the chords that you've played. I don't think I've seen anything else like that that does that, especially not in the mobile space, that will so quickly allow you to record and see, you know, like the exact like chords that you played and the chord progressions that you played. But then if you want, you can add in an entire drum beat to it, and you can control, I think, like if you want the drum beat to be simple or complex, and then you could add in a bass line as well. My cousin was like, this is incredible because now you can just record something super simple. In moments, you'll have a demo of what you were trying to record, and you can even put it to a beat and put it to a bass line if you want. If you want to download this, Music Memos is available on the App Store. I think the last time I checked, it had 4.5 stars out of 5, so people already love it, and it's totally free. So if you haven't had a chance to look at it, if you were a musician, if you play guitar, piano, or something, definitely check it out. And I would be interested to hear what you think, because I've heard from a couple of musicians, my cousin being one, that they really like it a lot. But I'm at Aerophone on Twitter. Let me know what you think of it. I'm curious to hear what some other opinions are. Well, since you guys aren't really musical.
Sorry, we're not hip hop producers over here.
I'm not gonna lie, my eyes glazed over while you were talking just now.
Did you find yourself like your head nodding backward and falling asleep?
Yeah.
At least
yeah.
You didn't start snoring. That would have been super rude. Okay. Well, before we hop into our cult cast Q&A, I feel like we just whipped through that show pretty quick, didn't we?
Yeah. That's how we whipped through it real good.
Dude, we got some more stuff though coming up, and we got some great questions. But before we do our cult cast Q&A, I want to say thanks to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace.com, the place you need to go if you need to build a website. Are you a photographer, an artist? Do you want to start a blog? Do you want to feature your work online? Maybe you just want to have your big face online so people could see how good you look. You could do a Squarespace cover page, which is just a big, beautiful one-image website that is very impactful. And then you could put a few details about yourself, maybe like your social media address. And then you could have a giant picture of yourself, like your face or something that you do. And you know what got me thinking, Buster? You know those nude photos you were texting me of yourself recreating, you know, famous sculptures of history?
They were supposed to keep those private, though, man.
Well, I didn't share them with anyone.
Good.
I didn't realize I wasn't supposed to mention them. Was that a secret?
Yeah, man.
Wait, you sent I want to see.
Yeah, I have like 30 or 40, so
can you airdrop to me?
I'll have to airdrop them to you after the show, and they're very high resolution.
Great.
And I was thinking to myself, when I was looking at these beautiful pictures, I was like, clearly Buster has put a ton of effort into recreating these poses from these different sculptures. And I was like, the world needs to see these. We need to put these up on a Squarespace website, Buster. I don't think you should be ashamed of these or bashful. I think we need to put these up online.
I don't know if we need to, but
I think the world needs to see Buster's nude recreations of these sculptures. I mean, it's just when you see his form and physique and just the way he, you know, perfectly recreates these poses, it's like he's a dancer. He's like a ballerina almost. And I was like, how can we display this artwork online? People need to see it. The world needs to see these images. They're that powerful. And I was like, perfect, Squarespace, because they make it so easy, especially if you have a lot of images. Image gallery creation in Squarespace is like the easiest thing you've ever done. Everything on Squarespace is drag and drop. You don't need to know any coding. We create a website. As soon as we're done, we publish it. Goes out to everyone, and people can look at it on their iPhones, on their Macs, on their iPads. Squarespace does all the resizing and everything magically to make your website look great to any device that visits. And then here's where the plan gets just genius, Buster.
Do we get some money out of it?
This is where I'm going. You know where I'm going with this. So once people have seen these nude images and they're inspired, they're going to be like, I need this recreated, and I need to have this in my home. And I was thinking we could create like 3D printed versions of just your naked form and sell these on our website.
Yeah, fully.
Does that sound like something?
As long as they're fully anatomically correct and everything on the 3D printout.
Of course. I mean, they're
the
going to be down
to be right.
The chest hairs are going to be just the way that you've brushed them that morning. I mean, they're going to be perfect. And I've already got that part set up. So we just need to start printing these. And we'll start with the photos. If those get popular, we'll start printing them, selling them online. And once you're ready to build on an e-commerce website, flip of a switch, Squarespace has you covered. You'll be selling stuff online in no time because a full e-commerce site is included with your subscription fee. Check it out yourself. Do you need a website? Squarespace.com. Start a free trial, a free two-week trial. Build a website that you don't even need to give them your credit card information. And when you're ready to make a purchase, you can buy a year service, a month of service. Whatever you buy, you can save 10% off your first order with code CULTCAST at checkout. Boy, this is going to be a massive moneymaker for us.
Shaking that moneymaker.
At Squarespace.com. Should we move on to CULTCAST?
Yeah.
TNA? I mean, Q&A? Q&A? Yeah. Let's start. I'm going to pose a question. The first question is going to be for me.
For me, I'm going to ask myself a question.
I'm going to ask myself a question, and I want you guys to listen. Irfan, how did your bod get so strong? So you guys heard Donald Trump give that speech recently where he was like, I'm going to make Apple build all their damn computers in the U.S. Yeah. You guys heard this, yes.
So ridiculous.
Love it. I love it. It's going to be huge.
When Apple builds their computers in the U.S., it's going to be huge.
No, he says huge. Huge. He said that he wanted to bring Apple production of their gadgets to the U.S., which I actually think would be super cool. I think that would be huge for Apple. My question to you guys, though, is how much extra would you pay, if anything, to have a device built entirely in the U.S.? Well, Kyle Weens from iFixit, who knows a thing or two about manufacturing, said that he thought it would probably cost Apple about an extra $50 to build their iPhones in the U.S. That seems kind of low. I would guess it'd be at least $100. I mean, well, but that's just my uneducated opinion. How much extra would you guys pay to bring production here?
No, absolutely extra. Nothing. Yeah, because it's impossible for them to do that. Even like Kyle Wien's estimate of it just being $50, that's way off. Like Apple simply could not do it because we don't have the talent. We don't have the people that China has. They have tons of people who are vocationally trained. Tim Cook's even said that's just there's the manpower here in the States isn't there to assemble it. Plus, all of their supplies come from companies in China, so they're able to, you know, get the glass over down the street, and then they're able to get this module over here, and then they're able to assemble it all down the corner at Foxconn. So it's just not something that's feasible.
Make America great again, Buster.
It's gonna Buster, be we huge. Still got you?
Yeah.
Huge.
Okay. Done. It's going to be huge. Okay. Let's just say, though, for argument's sake, that they could do it.
But they can't. For argument's sake, they can't. And for argument's sake, how much would I pay? None. No extra money. No.
So if Tim Cook was like, hey, y'all, guess what we can do? And he could bring manufacturing here. And he was like, but it's going to add an extra $50 to $100 for, let's say, $50 for iPhone and like $100 for like a MacBook Pro. Would you be on board for that?
I wouldn't care. Like, I mean, I don't love Apple because it's made in the USA. Apple makes all their shit in China, and I love them regardless. So it's not going to make me buy Apple products more or like them more just because, you know, sentimentally, it's made in the USA. Like the Donald wants to make it great again, you know?
It's like we have Donald here with us. It's like he's on the show with us right now. Alex, what do you think? Any extra money? Any extra ducats for American-made Apple products?
No, because like Buster said, it's a completely ridiculous hypothetical that would never actually exist. And if all that happened and Apple's like, hey, we're going to... They would obviously... You can't go up. You can always go down, but you cannot go up. Like, you can't start charging more for the same kind of
exact product.
You can't do it. And especially because you're making it in the U.S. So
Apple would have to eat the cost of it themselves. And then I'd be like, oh, that's so cool of them.
Which would still probably be less than the business tax they'd have to pay to bring their cash here.
Okay, next question. This one comes from listener Derek Kostovic. What's up, Derek? He says, how do you guys store and organize photos on your iPhones? Using the stock method drives me crazy. Emphasis mine. What are you using these days, Alex?
I'm using Google Photos, man.
Oh, yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah, that's my stuff.
It makes GIFs of all your photos.
Makes GIFs.
It automatically edits your photos.
It's got unlimited
storage.
Are you
using a T-Buster?
I have it turned on.
Interesting. Yeah. I was not expecting to hear that.
It's really good. It's the image recognition is amazing. I can search like dog, and it's going to show me all pictures that have
of
dogs
your mom?
In them.
Oh.
Dorothy Van Tiss is saying, okay.
That was
your mom is a princess. I take that back.
Dorothy Mantooth is a saint.
That was mean spirited and inappropriate. I apologize. Cool music, huh?
Yeah, and it's cool. I mean, you can search for like sunsets, and like it's going to show you all of your sunset pictures. It's really crazy.
Interesting.
Or individual people.
And you like the editing functionality as well?
Yeah, the editing's fine. Honestly, I don't use. I wasn't going to use like Apple Photos or Google Photos for editing. I use Visco and a couple other apps. I feel like most people who are really into editing don't use the built-in editor anyway.
That's true. I use Snapseed.
But the editor is like comparable to Apple's for sure.
Okay. And then the photos sync across all your devices, no problems.
And they're on the web, and it has a killer web interface, so you can actually access it anywhere, which Apple doesn't. And it works on your desktop too. There's a desktop uploader, so it syncs your desktop photos if you want. I pay $2 a month to have 100 gigabytes of full res storage, because the unlimited storage maxes out, I think, at 16 megabytes per photo. So if you want to store photos that are higher res than that, then you have to pay. And so I can sync everything, and it's pretty cheap. So
is there a Google Photos app that you have to download?
Yeah, the Google Photos iPhone app. It's awesome. It's actually a really good app.
I've literally never heard of this. This is hilarious to me.
Yeah, it's great. Buster, you said you're
using the same thing?
I don't ever really use Google Photos, but I have it more like as a backup to just catch my whole camera roll. Mm-hmm. I actually just use my iFi stuff, which is a little SD card that you put in your DSLR, and then it can send your pictures over to my iPad Wi-Fi. And so the ones that I do send to my iPad, I just keep those on Dropbox and iCloud Photo, and then all the extra ones I just keep in the iFi Mobi library that I pay for.
I've been using just Apple's iCloud system. I was really hesitant to use it because I don't know. It just seems like so lame just to use whatever Apple built in. But I've actually found that it's the best for me. And I like how my photos are available on all my different devices, especially like now my Apple TV. And particularly now that I've gotten all my family members to be using Apple devices, I can share photo albums with them. And I don't think there's another good way to do that with people.
Google Photos has collaborative.
Yeah, but my mom's not going to use Google Photos, dude. I mean, like I barely got my mom using her iPad. It has to be as simple as possible, right?
No.
So I feel like it's kind of locked me into using like the whole Apple ecosystem for all the photo stuff, because that way I can send photos to my mom and she can comment on stuff. It's like a personal Facebook network. If you have never used it, it's actually pretty slick how you can, you know, invite people to your photo albums and stuff. And then plus, I mean, just having all your photos available across all your Apple devices on your TV, with your Apple TV, on your iPad, on your Mac, on your iPhone, super handy. And so that's probably one of the biggest reasons I have just stuck with the Apple system, because you just don't have to mess with it. I tried using Dropbox for a while. I tried using the Amazon photo app. I forget what it's called for a little while. They include it when you have Amazon Prime. But, you know, all that stuff just kind of doesn't work as well as the native Apple stuff. So hopefully that helps you, Derek. Yeah. Dude, you think I'm a fanboy. You should hear Leander defend Apple to the death. You weren't on.
I heard it.
Did you hear that? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I forgot what it's like to be a cult of Mac.
Okay, this one comes from Chris. Chia. He says, what do you tell people when they ask why they should convert to Apple? Curious what everyone's pitch is. I haven't pitched anyone on an Apple in a while.
Yeah.
Have you guys?
Really, if you're not on Apple, then I don't really care, to be honest.
Let me try to convince you to be on the most prevalent and profitable tech companies in the world's platform.
If they're using a PC, what would you say to them, Alex?
I think Apple needs to be done a favor. I think they deserve a favor. They need a handout. They need our help. I'm gonna convince people that Apple's the way to go.
Have you guys become your family's IT person?
Oh, dude, yes. Like just the other day, I think two days ago, right. My brother-in-law like texted me, "Hey, this and this is going on with my Mac, and it won't boot. And I tried this and this, and what should I do, man?" And I'm like,
"Right,
take it to the Genius Bar. Stop texting me."
See, that's actually a pretty big motivation to get people on into the Mac ecosystem. I mean, every time my mom or dad come over, I'm always handed an iPad. You know, it's like, my iPad, the email stopped working, or I can't figure out how to do this, or please help me do that. And so before it was even worse, right? Because I've always been the family IT guy. And when they were all on PCs, you were constantly being asked to help them fix their PCs. And of course, a lot of times on a PC, the only way to fix it is just to totally wipe it and reinstall everything and back up all their stuff. And that would take you hours. And my cousin especially, she would murder a PC every 2 years. She had like more desktop icons than you would believe. She had like 1,000 spread across her desktop. So now I just tell them, if you want my help, then you need to be on an Apple device. And if you don't have an Apple device, then please don't call me. Because I'm not going to help you. Steve Nagel wants to know, what's Leander's next book project? Well, Leander's not here.
I know.
Because he was feeling sick. Do you really?
Yeah. I've been working on it with him. It's
You're kidding.
It's an update to the Cult of Mac book. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Wasn't the Cult of Mac book his original book?
Yeah, I think that might have been the first book he did before Inside Steve's
I think he
Head
did. No, I think he did Steve's Brain first.
Did he? I don't know.
No, he did Inside the Steve's iPod Brain? One first. And then Steve's Brain, and then Cult of Mac. That's what spun out Cult of Mac from Wired. Because he wrote the other two when he was at Wired. I believe so.
So you guys are working on a new one, Buster.
I am not working on it anymore. Leander is supposedly working on it. I mean, when he originally told me about the project, I think,
like, hell no.
Well, he was like, hey, we're gonna update these sections with new stuff. And he asked me to write one or two. And then after that, he just kind of dropped the ball on it. And so I think, I don't know, it might be a long time coming.
What you guys don't realize is writing a book for Leander is like one of the most grueling, painful processes. Like, I thought he was going to kill himself on the last book. He just disappeared for months at a time. He stopped showering. And that actually isn't that unusual. Stop shaving, also not that unusual. But he was constantly complaining about how much work it was and how the book was never going to be done. And he disappeared. We never saw him. So I'm surprised to hear that he's working on a new one.
Yeah, yet he keeps writing them.
Right. And yet he keeps writing them. I heard that he had a project in mind. It doesn't sound like maybe he's working on it yet, but he was writing a book and the title was, like, the working title was The Magic Hands of Bob Mansfeld. And it was a book about massage. And he had, like, this, you know, in-depth discussion with Bob Mansfeld about his philosophy on massage. And I'm surprised to hear that it's not going to be the next project, but maybe he side-tabled that for a while.
Oh, that's going to come, though. That's going to come.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely going to come someday. It's going to be a hot book. People want to know about Bob Mansfeld. He's one of Apple's most secretive execs, you know.
I think Bob's actually retired now.
Did he?
Yeah, I think Bob's done.
Did they actually officially announce that he was done?
They did. He's not, and then they extended him, and then they never really mentioned him.
No, that was a while ago. He's, the role that he had is filled by somebody else now. So he probably
was hardware something.
Yeah, I know.
Engineering.
But
I think he's still there in some capacity.
He's probably some capacity.
I believe he is, but
he's
not
actively
time.
Involved. No,
but he's there, Alex.
He's there.
He's always there.
If you go to the break room, you can get one of those famous Bob Mansfeld massages. He's there. He's got his red robe on. He's there, Alex. Okay, last question. This one is from that Dan guy on Twitter. What if Apple never brought out the iPhone? Will we still have the phones we have today, Alex?
Again, it's kind of an impossible hypothetical to ask because, like,
it really isn't.
The iPhone,
obviously, we wouldn't have the phones we have
maybe iPhones. They would have eventually happened, but I mean, it defined a mobile generation. So I don't know. It's like saying, what would it be like if the
Henry
internet
Ford
wasn't
didn't invite
created
the Model T? Yeah.
Like what happened if Al Gore never created it?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, would phone companies get there eventually? Sure. I mean, but you look at all the companies now that make phones and they all try to copy Apple and none of them make any money off of it. I mean, the apps that we have, I think, wouldn't be here. I guess, if we want, you know. But, I mean, hardware-wise, eventually somebody would have figured it out.
Dude, I totally disagree. Really? I think phones would still suck so bad if we never had the iPhone. Do you remember what phones were like before the iPhone?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember how bad they were? Like, do you remember the, what was it, like the WAP, like the WAP internet? It was like a text-based internet that you could use for like your flip phone. And all the phone interfaces were awful, and they were, you know, all like 10 times as terrible. And then Apple came out with the iPhone. And you're right, Buster. Everyone just copied the iPhone. And so I think the iPhone made the entire industry what it is today. And I kind of wonder if we would be in a different place than we than if we didn't have the iPhone. Because, like, what was the phone company's motivation to build a cool killer phone? Remember, like, Verizon and AT&T all had like their own respective app stores, and if you wanted to buy ringtones, you had to buy them from them. Like, they were making money hand over fist, so there was no motivation for them to do anything innovative. So I think that if we didn't get the iPhone, we would probably still have crappy phones. They would probably have touch screens, so they'd be a little better looking than they used to be, but we would still have the same archaic UIs and crappy apps and $1 ringtones that we had back then.
Dollar ringtones. I miss those days.
Like that T-Pain ringtone that you want, Buster? Yeah. $1 from Verizon. That Fatty WAP ringtone you want, Alex?
Did you just say Fatty WAP?
Yeah, what's his name?
Fatty
WAP.
Fatty WAP.
Get it right.
I honestly don't think I've ever heard a Fetty Wap song.
You've heard a Fetty Wap song.
I don't
He's
think
the hottest thing in music right now.
Honestly, if I saw him on the street and I was standing right next to him, I wouldn't be able to tell
You've
him who
never
he
heard
I
you know would him. Because he's got one eye and you would know that's yes. Fetty
He's only
Wap.
Got one eye?
Yes. Yeah, he's Damn, so
he's
hard. He's
You've
a baller.
Never heard All the song it. Trap Queen.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. He's like... Yeah, you guys aren't helping
That's
me
exactly
to recall
how
the tune.
Fetty Wap sounds. He mumbles it, but it sounds so sexy.
No, I'm sorry. I have never heard of Fatty Wap.
Oh. Google him. Apple okay. Music, that guy.
I'm going to go do that right now. In fact, we should go ahead and wrap it up there. And I'm gonna go Google Fetty Wap and learn all about him. I'm sure his Wikipedia page is exciting. I want to see how he lost his eye.
679, man.
All right. Well, that's all the Clickcast we have for you guys this week. But if you want to come see us on Twitter and say hi, we would just love to hear from you. Say hi to you. I'm at Aerophon. Alex is Alex E. Heath. Buster is BST3R. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. When will we see them, Mr. Walker?
Next time.
Ow. Hey, where do you keep your Apple Watch? I heard that you keep it in the same place.
Father's derriere.
You keep it in my father's derriere?
It's a safe place.
That's no actually a very safe place. There, so. Yeah.
It was your father's watch.
I don't know how you negotiated that deal. It was incredible. Jack Black was there and he performed
last year, dude.
Oh, it was last year. Oh, snap.
Dude. Yeah, it was
it was so funny.
That was great. Tenacious D.
Yeah.
I remember this now. I would have loved to have seen Tenacious D.
It was great. Buster and I were like 5 feet away from him, and then he like touched my head.
Oh, he touched you?
Yeah.
He had a moment with him.
I want him to touch me. Did you go this year, Alex?
No, I was getting married. And then
oh, that's right.
He was in Cancun.
What a lame excuse.
While I was at CES, I got to look at Alex's Cancun snaps. Ooh, look at this sexy pool we're chilling at.
Damn, I got to follow you guys on Snapchat. You know the reason I'm not on Snapchat? honest to goodness, the reason why I can't figure out what my username should be.
Erfan.
Erfan.
It's taken. It's taken.
Well, of course it is.
And so I don't know what else to be.
You should have jumped on it.
Yeah.
Earlier. Years ago. Mean,
that's where the kids are at, man.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
We had Snapchat come to the office today to give a training because so many people had no idea how to use it.
Because
it's like so foreign. Yeah.
Of your own employees?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. It was hilarious. They're like, this is how you shoot a video.
Hey, some people, the old folks need to know that stuff.
Yeah. Erfan and Leander could benefit from one of those.
Yeah, they can help me figure out what my username should be.
I think you should do Papa Erf. Papa Erf 69.
Papa Erf 69. That's actually pretty good, Alex. I might take that.
You should. I bet it's free.
Papa Erf 69.
The kids will love that.
The kids will probably love that.
You definitely won't be labeled as a Snapchat predator.
I'll just be on there, just breathing all heavy, making heavy breath videos. Oh, yeah. Papa Erf 69. Papa Earth just sounds like a euphemism
yeah.
for an erection. Mm.